Welcome to the sermon audio of the Journey Church in Westchester, Pennsylvania. In today's message, originally heard August 20th, 2017, we continue our study of the Book of Philippians with the 27th part of our series by Pastor Raymond Johnson. So listen as Pastor Raymond preaches the sermon, Incomprehensible Peace, Gentleness with Our Neighbor.
I invite you to turn to Philippians chapter 4. If you don't have a Bible, you can find Philippians 4 on page 982 of a Bible underneath the seat in front of you. If you're unfamiliar with the Bible, the large numbers are chapter numbers, the small numbers are verse numbers. And if you don't have a copy of God's Word that you can read and understand, please feel free to take one of those Bibles home with you. We'd love for you to have a copy of God's Word. If you're a guest with us, we're in the midst of a series of sermons studying Paul's letter to the church at Philippi. Today we're going to begin reading in Philippians chapter 4. Verse 4, the Holy Spirit says to us, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. Let's pray. Father, your word is truth. Sanctify us in your truth. We pray, Father, that you would give us ears to hear and eyes to see the mercy of God in the face of Jesus Christ now as we study the Bible. And we ask all of this in the name of our God who is triune, Father, Son, and Spirit. Amen. What do you want to be known for? Do you want to be known for your extraordinary good looks? Or perhaps your quick wit? Your sense of humor, your boisterous personality. Maybe you'd like to be known for your academic pedigree, your family, your connections, the city or the township in which you reside. Do you want to be known for your wealth, your financial wisdom and discernment, your earned income power? Perhaps the more pious among you like to be known for their prayer life, your leadership from the stage, your skill and ability to teach the Bible. Friends, the sad reality is that our highest and best motives are corrupted and corroded by self-interest as we pine to be remembered and renowned. The vast majority of us live our lives to be known for things that are fleeting and passing away. But in Philippians 4, Paul cuts to the heart of the issue. Be known for gentleness. As we continue our study of incomprehensible peace and turn our attention to Philippians 4, 5, three questions frame our time together again this morning. What, who, and why? Notice first, what is gentleness? Look with me again in verse 5. Let your reasonableness be known. The Christian life is to be characterized by joy and distinguished by gentleness. But some of you might be wondering, why are we talking about gentleness when the text says, let your reasonableness be known? No single word translates the word reasonableness in Philippians 4:5 well. The word means to be yielding, kind, courteous, and tolerant. The word translated reasonableness means gentle and gracious and forbearing. Friends, a gentle person is not an overbearing person, but patient with others, especially when they have done wrong. Galatians 6:1, brothers, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. Keep watch on yourself, lest you too be tempted. People are breakable. Even when they hurt others, they still hurt. Gentleness helps you help others put life's pieces back together rather than compound the fractures in their life. Broadly, most insist that this word reasonableness or gentleness contains an element of selflessness. The gentle person does not insist on their own rights. Their considerate courtesy and respect for others prompts them to relinquish their rights, not to stand on their rights. In Philippians 4:5, Paul's exhortation to the Christians at Philippi is simple yet profound. Let your gentleness be made known to all. For Paul, gentleness is not timidity. Gentleness is not weakness. Gentleness is not shyness. Gentleness is not fearfulness. Paul knew the words of Isaiah. Consider the mighty gentleness of God himself. Isaiah 40, verse 10. Behold, the Lord God comes with might, and his arm rules for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his recompense before him. He will tend his flock like a shepherd. He will gather his lambs in his arms. He will carry them in his bosom and gently lead those that are with young. Now notice the balance between the ruling arm of God in verse 10 and the carrying arm of God in verse 11. It is the strong arm, not the weak arm, that must learn to be gentle. Friends, God is gentle and mighty. He gently cares for particular needs and identifies with specific concerns within the flock, but he will by no means clear the guilty. In the New Testament, it is Jesus who preeminently displays the mighty gentleness of God. Matthew 11:28. Jesus says, come to me all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Now friends, no one who has ever walked on the earth had absolute power like Jesus. Yet Jesus did not exercise his authority in an abrasive manner. Jesus did not use his strength to bully others. Jesus tempered his strength with gentleness. He stood for truth while giving grace to sinners. Friends, the ability to be gentle flows from self-control, the fruit of self-control. Only a self-controlled person can turn the flood of what they think needs saying into the trickle of what a person in front of them actually needs to hear. Only a self-controlled person can use their energy and their passion to build up rather than to bowl over. What is gentleness? One pastor suggested, gentleness is love, guided by self-control, applying just enough strength to serve someone in a way they can handle. Gentleness is love, guided by self-control, applying just enough strength to serve someone in a way they can handle. Notice second, who must observe our gentleness? Look again at verse 5. let your gentleness be known to everyone. Gentleness is a relational virtue that demonstrates how you value and treat others in your life. It's a relational virtue that demonstrates what you think and estimate the value of others by the way that you care for them and treat them. Gentleness is observable and distinguishable from rage. Friends, listen closely to Paul's words as he differentiates the works of the flesh from the fruit of the Spirit. Galatians 6:19. Now, the works of the flesh are evident: enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, and things like these. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Social sins that disrupt the community, sins that destroy relationships and generate discord in the local church of Jesus Christ. If you fly off the handle in savage flashes of anger, you have a spiritual problem. An uncontrolled temper that leaves people wounded in its wake is sin. Now, some of you might say, it's my circumstances, or it's the people around me. It's not your circumstances, and it's not the people around you. Things that push your buttons reveal your buttons, not just what the button pusher did. The scripture says that unbridled anger, verbally and physically, is abusive and is an evident work of the flesh. Paul says these works are plain. They are obvious to all people. They drag us away from God. Friends, it would be nice if we could go to church and believe that no one in here would ever abuse his or her spouse, children, or friends. It would be nice, but it would be naive. The consequences of such a belief are tragic. Scripture wouldn't speak about anger as often or in the manner that it does if believers never crossed lines and harmed others verbally and physically. If your anger is out of control, the scripture says that you need to repent. Uncontrollable outbursts of anger reveal a spiritual problem and a lack of conformity to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Paul says that it might mean that you're not a Christian and that you will not inherit the kingdom of God. Many of us know ourselves or know others who do not feel safe in their own homes. Friends, if you have been or are a victim of abusive anger, come talk to me. Our leaders would be delighted to serve you. We would like to help you get out of the abusive circumstances that you may find yourself in and gently care for you in your life. Scripture grants civil authorities the power that it does, Romans 13:1 through 7, because moral violations are sometimes legal violations and merit both repentance as well as legal consequences. Come talk to me. We would love to help you and to serve you in your life. If your anger touches children, you must realize that God recognizes the preciousness and vulnerability of children. In fact, some of Jesus' strongest words against those who do not honor these qualities can be found in Matthew's gospel, Matthew 18, verse 5. Whoever receives one such child in my name receives me. But whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him to have a great millstone fastened around his neck and to be drowned in the depth of the sea. Friends, gentleness is observable and distinguishable from abuse. There is a line. Gentleness serves others in love. But the difficulty for us is that the concept of gentleness seems to hide among others in the list of Christian virtues that we read in the New Testament. But we cannot read Philippians 4:5 or 1 Peter 5 or 1 Timothy 3 without seeing gentleness shining forth in neon lights. When we examine the role of elders in the church, what stands out is that they must not be domineering over the sheep that are given to them in their charge and care. 1 Peter 5:3. Paul tells us that a necessary qualification to hold the office of elder, of pastor in the local church, is gentleness. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1. This saying is trustworthy. If anyone aspires to the office of overseer, that's a pastor or an elder, he desires a noble task. Therefore, an overseer must be above reproach, the husband of one wife, sober-minded, self-controlled, respectable, hospitable, able to teach, not a drunkard, not violent, but gentle, not quarrelsome, not a lover of money, faithfulness in marriage, sobriety, respectability, demand our attention when we read 1 Timothy 3, but gentleness is a distinguishing mark of an elder in the local church. Maybe you love people, but you do not have the ability or the desire to deal with them in a truly gentle way, without harshness and without hurting them. Stay out of the pastorate. In Paul's letter to young Timothy, the positive characteristic of gentleness is opposed by two negative characteristics, violence and quarreling. An elder, a pastor, must not be bickering. They must pursue gentleness and flee from violence verbally and physically. An elder must not be easily irritated. He must be able to calmly and rationally deal with arguments and stressful situations that find their way into the church. Concerning gentleness in the life of an elder, Alexander Strock says, too many religious leaders are not gentle or humble. They are controlling and proud. They use people to satisfy their fat egos. But Jesus is refreshingly different. He truly loves people, selflessly serving and giving his life for them. He expects his followers, especially elders who lead his people, to be humble and gentle like himself. Friends, an elder must be gentle and able to control his temper when attacked, maligned, or in tense and difficult situations. He must not lose control physically or verbally. But that does not mean that he does not sometimes say things that are difficult or hard to hear. Jesus is called gentle, but he calls the scribes and Pharisees hypocrites, snakes, sons of hell, fools, whitewashed tombs, and murderers, among other things. Friends, gentleness can be compatible with blunt language and direct statements. but directness, a more palatable word that we use for harshness, cannot be a guise for violent anger, verbally or physically. You're not a straight shooter who calls it like you see it. You are a jerk. The scripture makes that clear. Elders must serve as examples of gentleness in the congregation. But each one of us must display this virtue if we are to imitate the Lord Jesus Christ. Friends, I wonder, does your life reflect gentleness? When someone wrongs you, do you lash out in anger? If so, how do you do that? Physically or verbally or both? Are people afraid to confront sin in your life because of fear of your anger and your cutting words? Would your friends and family describe you as gentle? In James, we learn that wisdom as a heavenly gift from above has a distinctive mark. James 3:13. Who is wise and understanding among you? Verse 17. The wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial and sincere. Friends, wisdom is proven by her children. Like James, Paul urges the Philippian Christians to let the divine gift of gentleness be known to all. The apostle exhorts them to display Christ-like character to all people. This explains the universality of his statement. Let your gentleness be made known to everyone, not simply the circle of believers they affiliate most closely with in the church, not merely their friends who know them best, but absolutely everyone who can observe their life must see the distinguishing mark of gentleness, how they handle others, their relationship with their family, how they treat people on the street, the way they interact with others at the YMCA, how they act when they get cut off in the road, when they're merging onto 202, what it's like when they're in a long line at any restaurant or standing behind someone at Giant. They must, in all of those moments, visibly display gentleness that is observable, that is distinguishable, that is a mark of what it means to be a Christian. Who must observe our gentleness? Everyone. Notice third, why are we to be gentle? Look at verse 5. The Lord is at hand. Why gentleness rather than something else? Paul tells us plainly, the Lord is near. Anticipation, if you're a careful reader of the Bible, anticipation concludes the command of Philippians 4:5. The Lord is near, the coming of Christ. Paul reinforces this command with a simple but powerful comment, the Lord is at hand. Paul gives a very specific reason why we should obey the injunction to be gentle, the Lord's return. The Lord's return is our incentive to be gentle. Jesus' approaching return should awaken us and grip us to follow his example. This is why Paul describes Jesus as meek and gentle, 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 1. This is why John says in 1 John chapter 3, verse 2, that the coming of Christ is to change and reform the way that we live our life. Beloved, we are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet appeared. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, because we shall see him as he is. and everyone who thus hopes in his coming purifies himself as he himself is pure. Scripture tells us that Christians show gentleness and patience on the grounds of Jesus' approaching return. James 5:8, you also be patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. Friends, the Lord is near. But in what way is the Lord near? If your life is like mine, sometimes it feels that God is so distant, that he is so far off, that he is completely uninvolved in all of the details of life. Friends, the Lord is near in vicinity. Psalm 145, 18. The Lord is near to all who call upon him, to all who call on him in truth. He fulfills the desire of those who fear him. He also hears their cry and saves them. Psalm 34:17. When the righteous cry for help, the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit. God promises that he is near when all seems lost. When it seems like he is not near, he is near. When it seems like he is distant, he is near. When it seems like all have abandoned you, God is present. When it seems like nothing is going your way, God is right there in your life if you are in Christ. The Lord is near. Friends, the God of peace is eager to give you peace, the peace of God. Philippians 4:7. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Gentle behavior and the nearness of the Lord produce the peace of God. Gentleness and the peace of God go together in the kingdom of God. Why is the assurance of the Lord's nearness the motive for gentleness? Because it reorients our perspective and sets our minds on eternal rather than temporal realities. You are not gentle because you are first and foremost concerned about yourself, your reputation, your inconvenience, your agenda. That's why it seems to creep into our lives in the most random moments of our lives. Everything is fine. And then someone says something we don't want to hear, and we explode in anger and refuse to deal gently because we feel that we are most important. And what has happened to us is the prime thing that we must address in our life. You are concerned about yourself and not the kingdom of God, is what Paul says. Frankly, you would not sin against others or God if you thought more of the Lord's return. Paul knows this. So he says, if you lived in the light of the Lord's nearness, you would live differently. The scripture teaches us that he who has heavenly authority displays saving, forgiving, and redeeming compassion even to his personal enemies. Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interest, but also to the interest of others. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. As the heavenly King, Jesus is gentle. As one who has full power can be. Friends, it is people who do not have control who are grasping for control. People who are in control are not grasping for control. Jesus reigns over all things, yet he humbled himself and dealt with his enemies in the most gentle way possible. And friends, the promise of the gospel is that he will deal gently with you today if you will repent. If you are a person who is not gentle, God commands you to repent. And if you have never known the gentle saving mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ, come to him by faith, and he will deal gently with your sins. He will forgive you of all of your iniquities, and he will cleanse you. Application. As we move towards gentleness in our life, how can gentleness be integrated into our church's life so that this fellowship is recognizably and atmospherically loving, nurturing, caring, and gentle? Two things you can do this week. First, find someone in your life who speaks the truth to you in love and ask them, am I gentle? And you must, before you ask them that question, assure them and keep the promise that there is no relational consequence for their honesty in your life. One of the things that many of us do is we ask questions we do not want people to really answer. We ask people questions hoping that they will give us the answer that we want to hear. Ask someone, am I gentle? Do I deal with my children gently? Do I deal with my friends gently? Do I deal with my boss gently? Do I deal with my coworkers gently? Do I relate to the people of my church gently? Do I relate to the people that I perceive to be my enemies gently? Deal with the people that I do not like in my life gently. Let them answer honestly in your life. Second, pray for God to make you more gentle. Friends, surely this is a prayer that God delights to answer in the life of his people. If you are someone who is not gentle, pray, God, make me gentle like Jesus. Go read the Psalms. Go read Matthew 11, 28 through 30. Come and read back through the book of Philippians. One of the best things you can do here at this church to prepare for Sundays and to solidify what you are learning together in the Bible is to read and reread what we are studying together. And then pray, God, make me a gentle person. Someone who is meek, not fearful, but gentle. Not shy, but gentle. And may that overflow in my life and my love for others. What do you want to be known for? Not indignation. Not aggressive forcefulness. Not irritation. Not self-assertiveness. Not ruling over others. Not dominating others with forceful opinion. Not becoming frustrated by others who can't or won't live life within your preset requirements. Not arguing. Not being disgruntled or cantankerous. Not being rough or rude or abusive. Not blaming frontline workers for their stupid policies or failures in a broader company. Not treating call center employees impolitely. Not being nasty. Not using the fact that you are busy as an excuse to be impolite. Paul tells us plainly in Philippians 4 what we are to be known for. Be known for gentleness. Let's pray. Father, we pray that you would make us gentle like Jesus, and we thank you for his gentle mercy. That when he could have judged us with all the wrath of heaven, he gently dealt with us and led us to the foot of the cross where we might receive the forgiveness of sins. If we have been forgiven of our sins in Christ, the response is gentleness. And if we are not gentle, we do not understand what God has done for us and for our salvation, that our sin, not in part, but the whole, was nailed to the cross, and we bear it no more. Because you gently loved us when we deserved the infinite wrath and judgment of God. And we pray that that would flow over into the way that we relate to other people. Especially people who have sinned. Especially people we have a hard time dealing with. And Father, for any today who do not know that gentle grace of God, we pray that you would draw them to it today. That they would see that Jesus' arms are wide open, ready to receive them. May they come and hope in Christ. We thank you for your gentle, loving mercy. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the sermon audio of the Journey Church. Join us for worship each Sunday morning at 10 a.m. as we strive to be a place where people encounter Christ, experience community, and exist for others. You can discover more about The Journey Church by visiting us online at thejourneywc.org.